On this week's show, a special Pause for the Cause episode with Dr. Seth Hickerson from My Steady Mind.
Construction is the world's oldest industry but spends the least amount of money on innovation. When we realized people outside the construction industry didn't typically associate construction with technology like virtual reality, apps, and robotics, we started the ConTech Crew. Each week, we bring our listeners the latest in ConTech news and interview the minds behind the technological innovations changing the way we build. So strap in, enjoy the ride, and geek out. It's ConTech Crew time.
All right, I got my original ConTech Crew bro, Rob McKinney, back on the show. Say hi, Rob. It's been a little bit.
It's good to see you, brother. How are you, sir?
Man, I am great. It is great to have you on the show. It's great to have Dr. Seth with us today. We got a first of its kind Pause for the Cause episode. Y'all know a while back, we'd always been focused on prevent construction suicide. That hasn't gone away. We've just grown it a little bit. And this was an opportunity for us to do a Pause for the Cause episode. So thanks, Rob, for bringing Dr. Seth in with us. Say hello, introduce yourself to everybody.
Howdy, howdy. Great to be here as always. So thanks for having me on, Jeff and Rob. Good to see you as always. Really looking forward to talking about this Pause for the Cause and just, you know, sharing some insight and tips and techniques and awareness out there so any of your listeners can, you know, pick up on some things to help them with anything that they're going through. So excited.
Yeah, we're excited as well. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. So everybody listening in, this is going to be an opportunity for you guys to have a brief look into My Steady Mind, which is Dr. Hickerson's company. It's what he started. And we're going to talk a little bit about it. But before we get there, let's talk a little bit about you. You have you didn't just jump into this, and you're not just the woosah doctor, right? This kind of came from a history. So give us a little bit of your history, Seth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely not something that happened overnight, you know, to get us to where we're at. And so kind of a quick rundown on my background, you know, when I tell my story. So basically, I'm from Southern Indiana originally, so a small town guy, small Southern town in Indiana. And I was an athlete growing up, football, basketball, baseball player, you know, year-round sports. And I tell everybody I was a really good athlete, but I was kind of a knucklehead kid. You know, in high school, all I cared about was playing sports and chasing women and drinking beer and, you know, partying and, you know, so that was just kind of the way I was. I was, you know, that was that athlete that could show up to a baseball game hungover and still go 3 for 4 with a home run. And, you know, so, and school wasn't really hard. I mean, I didn't apply myself. I was just like, what do I need to be eligible for sports? 2.0. That's what you're going to get. 2.0. And actually maintained a 2.0, which is harder than maintaining a 4.0. You know, so I was that kid that would get a, you know, a 30 on a test, a 60 on a test, a 28. And then the teacher would be like, Seth, you need a 97 or you're not going to pass. And I'd get a 98. So, but anyway, you know, in high school, that's just kind of the kid I was, and ended up, you know, baseball was my best sport. In my mind, I was always going to go play college and pro sports. You know, that was my vision and my plan. So school didn't matter, you know, and I had the fanfare and stuff like that, the athleticism and the talent, but I just didn't have the mindset or the, I'll say, the good habits to do it. And long story short, I ended up drinking myself out of my scholarship opportunity. So had some scholarship opportunities, but, you know, chose to go, you know, drink them away and lost those opportunities. And so graduated high school with a, you know, 2.0 GPA, a drinking problem and no plan B, you know, which is where a lot of people wind up. And so what happened at that time, which I didn't really know what was happening at that time, but I lost my identity. You know, because, well, we will talk about that a little bit in the show, but we really don't teach many people in our society about identity and identity loss and what it is. We actually have a kind of a bad identity crisis going on as a result of a multitude of things. But long story short, lost my plans, you know, fell through. And then I just fell into that kind of dark spot where a lot of kids wind up just drinking, working dead end jobs, no direction, no other plans. And that pity party lasted about a year. And then I eventually kind of got my head out of my butt and was like, all right, you know, I saw where my friends were going, right? Either jail or dead end jobs or, you know, and I was like, I need to do something. So I joined the military, and joined the Navy. I was a Navy CB, which I'm sure there's probably a lot of your listeners that might be familiar with, or Combat Construction Battalion, Civil Engineering Corps. They do some amazing work. And I was did 5 years. I was stationed in Tokyo, Japan for 3 years. And that's where I got introduced to a lot of the stuff I teach and preach now, a lot of the stuff around like contemplative practice and meditation and mindfulness and kind of that Zen life philosophy from my time living over there, and just practicing some of these techniques to deal with my own stress and depression and anxiety, just getting exposed to it. So living in Asia, then I moved and I was stationed in Rota, Spain. So then I was in Spain for another year, and I got kind of exposed to how they live their life, very laid back. You know, you talk about pausing, they're the masters of pausing, slowing down, siesta, you know. And so I just had this unique 5 years overseas living in Europe and Asia, and I got to see how they handle things kind of emotionally and societally. And the thing I would notice when I would come back to the United States was every time I'd come back here, it was miserable. People were irritated, agitated, frustrated, argumentative, divisive, wound up, you know. And I was just like, God bless, man, what's going on in this country, you know? And I always wanted to get back to Europe and Asia. And so anyway, I just started noticing, you know, things were different over here when it comes to handling emotions and stress. And got out of the military, went back, used my GI Bill, thought I was going to go teach and coach. You know, I was like, I'll go teach high school, you know, coach baseball or something. That was my family are all educators and teachers. And so went to Indiana State, was doing my undergrad in health and physical education. But I took an elective class on sports psychology my sophomore year. And this was back in the, you know, early 90s, mid 90s. And I'd never heard of sports psychology. But I got in there and I was like, mental training, you know, learning how to control your emotions to increase performance. I was like, okay, this is cool. I understood mental training coming from the military, but really I was just pissed off. I was like, where was sports psychology back in Bedford, Indiana? You know, why wasn't somebody teaching me how to manage my emotions on and off the field? Maybe I would have gone on and, you know, and played professional or collegiate ball. And then you find out, you know, I kind of fell in love with sports psych. I decided to pursue it, went to University of Tennessee to do my master's there in sports psychology. And when you get in there and you start studying sports psych and the people that have access to it, you realize it's not for 14-year-old Bedford, Indiana kids, you know, it's for the elite. It's for upper echelon, you know, D1, college, pro. And so I was like, well, I wish this would have been available to me as a kid, you know. And so that was where I had kind of the first vision to start a company that brought mental skills training, you know, to high school and college kids that would never be able to afford it or access it. And so I started my first company called Boost Mental Toughness and Leadership about 9 years ago. And that was the vision, you know, I wanted something to be online, affordable, scalable, you know, so that these people and kids could get it without having to hire some, you know, elite sports psychologist. And so anyway, kind of started doing that. When I was in grad school, I joined another branch of the military because I'm just crazy like that. I joined the Air Force. So I'm a weird two-branch military guy because I was like, if this sports psychology thing doesn't work out, I'll just get commissioned and go fly. So I did it 4 years in the Air Force Reserves and did that. I've always been a kind of training high-performing people. I'm also a CSCS, which is a Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist. It's kind of like the PhD in the fitness world. Went and did my doctorate in educational leadership from Virginia Commonwealth when I was in Richmond, Virginia. Because what I wanted to do with that was I was training a lot of like, you know, Navy SEALs, athletes, high performing people on what I call cognitive fitness. I was kind of doing that, in my career, and I wanted to bring that skill set to the masses, kind of like I did with Boost. So I went and I did my doctorate in educational leadership so I could learn how to take kind of everything I've been doing and put it together in a curriculum, you know, and design it into a course that could be measured and, you know, check all the boxes. And so it could just kind of bring that to life. And so that's what I did. I kind of took all the stuff I've been doing and the things I use to deal with my own stress and turned it into a company and in a training course, to help other people learn how to, you know, manage their emotions, improve emotional intelligence, you know, proactively improve mental health, things like that. And that's what we're doing. And so been doing it for quite a while now. We're helping a lot of people and want to spread the word and just kind of get this proactive mental health training stuff out there to more people.
Well, that's what's awesome about this, because that's what brought, you know, that's how Rob connected the two of us. And we have a cohort going through this new mental fitness training. So talk a little bit about what My Steady Mind is and what it's really turned into for you. Because that's been, you know, I think it was one of the impetuses for me wanting to have you on the show is to, you know, kind of introduce people to what My Steady Mind is and the and the philosophy behind it.
I'm an educator and a coach and a trainer. And what I help a lot of people understand, everything we're talking about is mental health, you know, but our country really doesn't understand mental health at all, right? When we hear the word mental health, we think illness. And that's by design. So my doctorate's in educational leadership. You know, sadly, we put our citizens through a public school system that is designed to eliminate divergent thinking, to perpetuate learned helplessness, to do a bunch of things, you know, that aren't really in the best interest of our society, right? And we don't have enough time. We can talk more about it if you'd like, but I just tell that story to let people know that, you know, if you're struggling out there, if you're having problems with stress and anxiety and emotions, it's probably not your fault. You know, a lot of times it's our society's fault for not preparing you and educating you and giving you tools to manage those emotions proactively. It is your fault if you stay that way. You know, and that's a lot of what I do with my course. I'm like, okay, hey, you know, you might be struggling. We all are. But there's a solution, and it's probably not what people think. Most people think, oh, I got to have a therapist. I need medication. I need all this other stuff, which it could be. But most people just need proactive training, learning how to control your thoughts and your breath and navigate the daily stress of life. But what I wanted to do with My Steady Mind was educate people to this. So if you look at mental health, right, there's two sides. There's mental health treatment and there's mental health training, just like physical health. There's physical health treatment. If I break my arm or tear my knee, I go get treatment. But then there's physical health training. You know, I work out and I exercise proactively so that I don't get the treatment. That's right. Proactive and reactive. Mental health is the same way. But when most people in our country think about mental health, they've been conditioned to hear mental illness. When we use the word mental health, we just think about anxiety, depression, suicide, the stuff that's on the, you know, because nobody really knows how to proactively train mentally like you proactively train physically. And so that's what My Steady Mind set out to do, was teach people how to proactively train your brain like your bicep. You know, learn exercises and techniques that are simple to do that will, you know, improve your mental health, your cognitive capacity, reduce stress, all that stuff, and make it fun, you know, and make it engaging. That's what we need more of out there, you know, is resiliency and mental wellness training from a proactive standpoint.
Rob, talk a little bit about why, you know, you've been through this process. So talk a little bit about that and what drew you to it.
Well, as we know on the show, our beautiful, amazing construction industry has some darker sides, right? And I really haven't talked about a lot of things that have gone on in my head over the past couple of years. And people that have listened to the show a long time, you know, I kind of disappeared for a while. And candidly, it was because I was finally addressing a lot of issues that I had. That, you know, what Seth was talking about, the way the school system taught me, or let's say did not teach me, what I picked up from and family members. And I hit a wall last year. And honestly, I've been working on trying to rebuild myself over the past year. And what I told Seth, one of the first conversations we had, was about 80% of what he has created in the My Steady Mind program, I had figured out on my own through a tremendous amount of pain, money, suffering, banging my head against the proverbial wall. Like, you know, I was seeing a therapist who taught me a lot. I was seeing coaches, you know, I was grabbing all these little pieces from so many people and kind of put it together to what Jeff, I was telling you, was the quote Rob plan, right? Like, here are these things that I'm doing to try and just get my mind back on track. And while this was going on in our circle of trust, several people confided in me, you know, face to face, one-on-one, that, you know, I've been doing the same thing. And the more I was honest and started talking in our industry in circles, and even, Jeff, you can imagine publicly, you know, here's this guy, the ConEv guru, who talks about all these amazing apps and ways to use technology. And then I started slipping in there a little bit about mental health, and people started looking at me really weird. the room got a little uncomfortable, especially in private meetings. But Seth was doing some interesting postings on LinkedIn, and it caught my eye. So I started listening more and checking out what he had. And then I finally was like, you know what? He's got a course. I'm going to check it out. So started going through it. And then I think maybe it was the second or third module in is when I was brave enough just to reach out to Seth and be like, all right, dude, let me lay a story on you and tell you where I'm at and why I'm taking your course and what I think about it. Because, you know, candidly, I was saying, I work in an industry that could really use listening to you. Because when you, what he has done, Jeff, of putting together this module, this 9-module course that, you know, it's self-paced online, for somebody looking to make some kind of improvements or change, you can kind of go through it. And for me, it was a little bit more of like a rapid course because a couple of the things that Seth teaches, I had already lived through. But what I can tell you is going through it as a complete novice of somebody desperate for wanting to understand, like, why does my mind do what it's doing? Why can't I control it? But then hearing when Seth is describing it, now it's like that masterclass for me almost, where I'm locked in. And that's when I started reaching out, like, okay, I think I know some other people that might understand or like this, Seth. Hang with me here. We're going to try something. And that's kind of where we've evolved to the point of, Jeff, you got involved with me saying, hey, man, let me show you this course I've been going through. And what do you think about this for our brothers and sisters in the construction industry?
Well, and that's why we reached out to bring Seth here, because, you know, I'm going through a cohort now and going through it. And it's exactly like what you're talking about, Rob. It's like, man, why have I been running around in the dark trying to grab these little nuggets that Seth now has? And it lines right up with what we've been doing, right? We've been trying to treat construction suicide. But really what we have to do is get outside further and condition the mind like we would the body. You know, this is not an I think you did a great job of saying this earlier, Seth. It's not a replacement for treatment.
No.
Right? There are people who need treatment.
100%. Yeah.
But just like we talked to Brent Darnell about this, is like, but before that treatment, you know, his focus is knowing that you're getting run down. What Seth's done is gone ahead and made all of this available in a digestible way. So talk a little bit, Seth, about how you organize this and put this together so that the rest of us don't have to bang around in the dark and hurt ourselves, right?
Yeah, and that was the whole goal, listen to what you guys said, right? Because that's I tell people all the time, like, I didn't make my steady mind for everybody else, to fix everybody else. I made my steady mind to fix me, right? Because I was like, well, I've been to rehab twice. I've worked with therapists. I've been on every medication you can take. I've done it all, right? I've struggled with depression, anxiety, alcohol, like, and I've been on that personal growth journey for a long time, you know? And what I wanted to do, because this is what most people are doing, probably your listeners and everybody out there, right? We just went through a collective trauma with COVID and how it's been handled, and everybody's stressed and struggling, right? And everybody's minds are pretty unsteady. They're fearful. They're worried that, you know, and they should be, and that's normal, but they're thinking they're abnormal, right? They think I'm the only one that's screwed up. Everybody else is dialed in and kicking ass. No, they're not. We're all screwed up, right?
But social media tells us we're fine. Everybody else is good, right, Seth?
Yeah, believe me, we'll have to save the next episode to just specifically talk about social media and how it perpetuates. But here's what most people are doing, kind of like what Rob was saying. And this is the big point I try to help people understand. So I'm a performance coach. I'm a trainer, right? And what most people are doing in our society, and this is where social media comes in, everybody that's trying to develop or get better in some way, shape, or form, what they're doing is they're streaming and consuming, right? So where there's so much noise out there in the personal development space, so people are buying self-help books, they're watching influencers, they're watching YouTube videos, they're on social media, they're listening to 50 podcasts, they're just streaming and consuming all this stuff, fingers crossed, something sticks. Like, man, I'll hear that one Joe Rogan podcast and it'll change my world. It's like, no, that's an approach, but that's expensive. It takes a long time because there's so much awareness out there, but there's not much application. So what I wanted to do was say, hey, like, tell everybody, like, push the pause button on all that other stuff, because there's streaming, consuming, and then there's training. And what I created is a training program, like you said, that takes all that stuff and packages it in a very simple, organized fashion. So you don't have to go out and figure it out. I just say, hey, if you want to learn how to be more present, here's what you do. Here's the actual tips and techniques. Here's the breath technique. Here's the visualization. Here's the emotional intelligence activity. And so I really wanted to simplify the whole personal development process for people so that you don't have to run around, you know, trying to figure it all out. And that's the beauty of the course is it's designed so it's real easy to understand. It's easy to implement. It's very practical and tactical. You know, you get results real quick. It makes sense. It's all that stuff that the personal development industry really has never been, right? Organized, structured, simple. And so it just saves you a lot of time, energy, and effort. And then the other thing that My Steady Mind, and this is why I'm so happy to be talking to you all and getting into the construction industry is, you know, my training's not for everybody. You know, it's not for people that can't get off the couch. It's not for people that have zero motivation or, you know, they need treatment. They probably need a therapist. They might need medication, and that's great. My training's for people that, you know, are, you know, I'll say wanting to improve, that are wanting to be proactive. And I come from working with high-performing people, you know, like Navy SEALs and athletes and cops and surgeons, the people that would normally stiff arm any of this mental wellness stuff, right? The people that would be like, no, you can have your Calm app. You can have your, you know, I'm not going to do any of that fluffy woo-woo stuff, you know, and that's my specific market. And so that's a lot of what's in the construction industry is, you know, people that are hard charging, a lot of alpha types, you know, that are not going to try some of the more traditional, you know, I'll say wellnessy mindfulness stuff that's out there. And our approach, and as you guys can text, it's cool. It's sexy. It's performance-based. You know, like our training will help you improve performance, whether you're swinging hammers or you're a stay-at-home mom or a Navy SEAL, you know, because it's training. But the biggest thing that it really does, and this is why it works, is in the whole thing, what we're really doing is kind of hiding the medicine in the cheese. You know, it lets people ask for help without asking for help. And that's what we need.
Yeah, that's what I like. Rob, I know you liked a few things about it. That's what really made it approachable for you.
Well, it really was. When you think about creating a course that just about anybody can read through and listen to and try and take a concept like mindfulness, right? You know, you and I, Jeff, have used that term on stages in front of people, on podcasts, and in construction. Seth will go ahead and tell you there is a very proud tradition in this industry of how tough we are. Mm-hmm. And we can do anything. But the problem is we can crack. And Jeff, I've been trying to figure out kind of a description of when we think about, you know, that you always hear about personal protective equipment in our industry. And those for protecting our body against the hazards we work around. You know, there's fall protection, there's chemicals, there's heat, there's fire. Well, a gentleman gave me a term a while back, Joe, over adversity. And he said, Rob, what your industry needs is PPM. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, your industry needs a personal protective mindset, the things that can prepare you mentally for what you're dealing with. And I think that's what Seth's created with this course. Yep. Is it's giving you that mindset, that mental armor, right, to do these tough, amazing things that we do. But it is a little slow to develop. It's not like what Seth's talking about of, you can follow anybody and read a book. You can't develop a calm, steady mind overnight. I'm telling you, 12 months in, there's still a lot of work going on inside. I'm better off. And, you know, of course, like My Steady Mind's helped tremendously. But you just don't snap your fingers and it's all good.
No, I think that's interesting, though, because if we compare it to physical fitness, right, like I'm one that trains a lot and I had an injury this year and it's taken me months to really get the engine running. Seth, some things that struck me about what you're doing is it's not overnight, but man, it could be a lot quicker.
Oh yeah.
Right. It doesn't have to, I don't have to do abs, 6 minute abs for 60 days before I even have an ab. Right.
There's a couple things and I'll speak to that, you know, so in the course, you know, the first two modules talk about the science of cognitive fitness, right? So cognitive fitness training is what I do. I'm not this isn't mindfulness training. It's not a meditation course. It's cognitive fitness is a blend of sports psychology, neuroscience, contemplative practice, mindfulness. There's even some elements of like 12-step in there. There's some elements of other personal development things that I've utilized for my own self. So cognitive fitness is a blend of a bunch of different things. And with the what we're teaching in the science, and this is going to talk to two different things. The first module talks about neuroplasticity, right? And so we're helping people understand, how do I train my brain like I train my bicep? And so if my bicep is out of shape, if my body's out of shape and I'm deconditioned, right, and I want to get in shape, again, I can't read a book about working out. I can't listen to a podcast. I can't watch a video. I have to go to the gym. I have to pick up the weights and do the curls. And it's probably going to suck because I'm out of shape, right? And what I'm doing is, when I'm doing the curls, I'm breaking down the old deconditioned muscle fibers. I'm breaking them down. And then when I set the bicep, the curl bar down, and I let it rest and recover through hypertrophy, they're growing back bigger and stronger, right? That's how physical training works. So, and then I have to come back tomorrow and do the curls. And I do that over time, and I start to build up my physical endurance, my physical capacity. So your brain is the same way. And so how our brain works is through neuroplasticity. Our brain has a skull around it, so it can't grow like a bicep. It grows through new pathways, right? That's why it's hard for people to understand mental conditioning, because I can look in a mirror and I can see if I'm doing good physically, right? But I can't look in a mirror and see my brain. You have to have an fMRI. But everybody that's listening, what's happening with this unsteady mind is, most people's minds are deconditioned, right? We're stressed, we're exhausted, we're burnt out, we're dealing with depression, anxiety. It's just like our body's out of shape, but our brain is. And so if you start training and you do some of the things that we teach in My Steady Mind, like thought stopping techniques, biohacking techniques, visualizations, those are like your squats and your dumbbells, right? These exercises will facilitate the process of neuroplasticity, and specifically neural pruning. So we have all these bad neural pathways, right? Our negative thoughts, our negative self-talk, the bad habits that we have. Through training, we can break those, you know, through inward reflection and different biohacking. We can break that. It's called neural pruning. And then we can form new ones. So, but, you know, that's what's going on in our brain. So it's the same as training our bicep. We train our brains. And the good news is, like you said, Jeff, if my body's out of shape, and I want to get in shape, man, I got to go to the gym 5 days a week for an hour every day, and I might not notice anything for 2 months, right? Neurologically, when you start training mentally, you notice things almost instantly, right? Like as soon as you learn the BAMO breath, like things are changing. You know, as soon as you learn how to do thought stopping and create that gap between a stimulus and a thought, you know, we could talk about that. That's the real pause for the cause right there. Learning how to create that space between a stimulus and a thought, you get results a lot faster training mentally.
Yeah, you hit a couple things there. I want to go back to one, because like this hit me real quickly, and you have it tattooed on you, BAMO, right? This, tell somebody to take a breath is almost gets the exact opposite.
Yeah,
like reaction. Yeah. Like, yeah. Hey, why don't you just take a deep breath? And they're like, yeah. Why don't I just punch you in your face?
Yeah, exactly.
And like. And let's be honest, like construction, especially you were talking about, like this is a pretty heated, pretty heavy, you know, high consequence environment. So telling somebody to take a breath is really just going to blow it up. So talk a little bit about what a BAMO is. Cause once I heard it, I was like, yeah, I'm totally sold on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And so a big part of what I wanted to do when I created this course was, again, I have to know my audience, right? So my audience was a lot of veterans, athletes, high-performing people, surgeons, SEALs, cops, and we love acronyms, right? And we need things.
Yeah, we
need things to be short and sticky, or I won't remember it. And so, as veterans, that's how we talk. We use acronyms because, you know, we don't remember anything unless it's an acronym. So when I was creating the course, because again, it comes back to this whole personal development world where there's just so much noise and stuff out there that you're like, I can't retain anything. Well, our course is very sticky, right? And so how you make things sticky is by creating fun language, metaphors, acronyms. And so in our what we're learning to do through My Steady Mind is you're learning how to control two things that control everything in your life, your thoughts and your breath. Your thoughts control your mind and your breath controls your nervous system. And most people have no awareness or control over either. So their thoughts are just all over the place. That's where mental exhaustion comes from. That's an unsteady mind, right? I'm thinking about this, worried about that. It's just, I'm on the job. I'm not here. I'm thinking about bills. I'm thinking about. And so most people have no awareness or control over their thoughts. They're not mindful. And then if you don't have any control over your thoughts, you don't have any control over your breath. So most people's breathing sucks. It's very shallow through their mouth, right? Just these mouth breathers, very shallow, very rapid. So you're in sympathetic state all day, right? You're never taking a deep enough. So people suck at breathing. So at My Steady Mind, the first breath technique we teach is called the BAMO breath. And it means breathe and move on, right? So if I'm stressed or anxious or pissed off or whatever, I'm feeling uncomfortable because I'm mad, right? I'm in sympathetic state. So it's learning how to control your nervous system. Our nervous system has sympathetic, which is fight or flight. Parasympathetic is rest and digest. And most people, probably most of your listeners out there, just when they wake up in the morning, they get right into sympathetic state. I'm thinking about the day. I'm worried about what's going on. I'm pissed because I got bills. I'm mad at my kids for screaming in the other room. I'm checking my phone and the news is. And so that's where they're just at, right? And they're breathing shallow. They haven't even gotten out of bed and I'm already anxious and pissed off and I haven't put my feet on the floor, right? And so then I step out and now the day comes and here comes the emails and the demands and that's just how they exist. You know, it's 9 in the morning and I'm already tired. Now I got to go to a job site and work 8 hours, right? Good luck, right? So we're trying to teach them how to flip the switch, get out of sympathetic and back into parasympathetic, which is rest and digest. And there's only one way you can do that. The fastest way is by taking a deep breath, you know? And so the fastest way is the BAMO breath. It's a 4-second inhalation through your nose, counting to 4. The counting serves the purpose of, if I got a lot of negative, if I'm laying in bed, my thoughts are real scary and loud and negative, and I say BAMO, and I think BAMO, and then I count 1, 2, as I'm inhaling through my nose, the scary self-talk goes away. You can't count to 4 and have the scary thoughts. So I get a little break, right? And I'm breathing in for 4 seconds through my nose. It has to be 4 seconds and in through the nose because I have to go deep enough down into the lungs to hit the diaphragm. The diaphragm sends a signal up to the vagus nerve. That's what activates the parasympathetic, the parachute. That's what calms me down in that moment, right? And so I get that break. And so the other thing is, you know, I don't want you to just sit there and breathe. BAMO is a call to action. Breathe and move on. Get up. Get out of bed. Go, get back in the project, get back into the time with your kid, get back into whatever it is you're doing, breathe and move on. And so, and we can do a BAMO breath here in a minute if you want, but yeah, it's a 4-second inhalation through the nose, counting, and then a 4-second exhalation out of the mouth, counting.
And it's I'd say we do it. And if you're driving down the road, please don't close your eyes while you're doing it, but you can still do it. And that's what I like about this breathe and move on, because look, in construction, we can't stop. Mm-mm. Right. We can't, especially a lot of times heavy equipment's moving over our heads. We're in the middle of something, but 4 seconds, 8 total seconds. So right. Let's walk everybody through, give them 8 total seconds here. Give you some experience.
Right. And I'll walk you through a couple here, but first I want to explain again, what we're learning to do is manipulate and control our nervous system. And so when we're stressed or anxious or pissed or worried or feared or any of those negative emotions, the only thing that's going on is we're in sympathetic state, right? Because as you know, that both of you are in the training, that's because, remember, STIA, stimulus, thought, emotion, action. A stimulus creates a thought. Thought creates an emotion. Emotion is energy in motion. That drives action. So the reason I'm feeling mad or anxious is just because some stimulus created a negative thought, right? And so that's all it is. So if I woke up and all of a sudden I think about a big project today that I don't want to do, that's a stimulus I just created. My thoughts are negative. That's going to suck. I don't want to do it. Here comes the fear and the emotions. And so anyway, so you're in sympathetic state. So we want to get into parasympathetic. So I say that because I want you to see if you can feel the difference when your body shifts from sympathetic to parasympathetic state. Now, some of you might be really stressed right now, some of the listeners, right? Even if you're driving or whatever, you might just kind of have some tightness in you. You might already be stressed. You know, Rob, Jeff, you may not be. But when we're inhaling, what we're doing is activating the sympathetic state. So as I'm inhaling, you'll start to feel yourself get a little tight. And then when you exhale and you blow out, you'll feel this like cool little wave of water kind of trickle over your body. That's the parasympathetic engaging. right? So it feels this nice kind of relaxing, like almost feels like water kind of rushing down your body. That's your parasympathetic. So as we do the BAMO breath, just see if you can feel that, all right? So close your eyes if you can. Don't close them if you're driving. I'll count you through one and then do one on your own, okay? So close your eyes and we're going to do a BAMO breath. Ready? Inhale through the nose. 2, 3, 4. Open up the mouth and push it out. 2, 3, 4. Do it again. And I should really hear the exhale. Inhale deep through the nose. Open up the mouth. Really push all that oxygen out. That's getting that parasympathetic engaged. Nice.
Hopefully all you felt that nice trickle of water down. I did when you did this. And what I think, especially for our construction site folks, is like BAMO is that call to action that just doesn't feel so woo-sai and so foreign.
Yeah.
So I think that's a killer nugget for folks. And, you know, we got the original nugget master on the on the call. Rob is the man, the myth, the legend for the nugget master. So I'm wondering what else, you know, as we think through this, Rob, what else really drew you to it?
Well, let's think one layer deeper on the BAMO breath, because when we were talking about the sight work, it made me really kind of think. And Seth, one of our other good friends, my brother from a Canadian mother, Mr. Chad Pearson, he gave Jeff and I an introduction to a concept several years back of VUCA. It stands for volatile, uncertain, changing, ambiguous. And he was explaining where he got that term from working with the police and the military and how it really perfectly describes the construction industry. And Jeff and I were talking to him at a conference and looked at each other and said, yep. 100%, right? And if we think about that BAMO breath, Jeff, what about a team exercise? Could you imagine now, what if we had some companies listening that are willing and we give them enough training, and before your next owner's meeting, with all of that tension, you can cut in a room with a knife? Or what about that weekly progress meeting schedule fun fest that every construction project does every week, and you could just see the tension in their eyes? What if the superintendent or the PM leading the meeting was brave enough to have everybody take a BAMO breath and chill out versus, you know, I've walked in those rooms and it was literally, Seth, you know, in our world, it was mentally, you had gun drawn, shields up.
Yeah.
You're just waiting for it to come at you. But what if you could just de-escalate a meeting
And
with a BAMO session?
Right.
Just that simple.
That's the whole, you know, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because this, again, I'm a performance coach, right? I'm not here to turn everybody into monks on the job site. That's not what we're here for, right? My job is for you, whatever team you lead, to be the highest performing group of individuals you have. And if you do not, and I'll tell you this to everybody that's listening, this is not a guess. If you are not providing mental training, they are not performing at their highest capabilities, period. They just can't be. Period. That's not up for debate, right? So I tell people all the time, this isn't like something that maybe we should do it. It might be good. This is if you want to be elite and increase productivity and have the healthiest, happiest people. And if you want to improve communication and cohesion and all that stuff that people want and culture, you have to implement this kind of training. It's emotional intelligence. But the cool thing about BAMO and another part of the design is this training is designed to be operationalized, right? So operationalized means we use words like BAMO, and that allows people to come into meetings and say things like, hey, let's all take a BAMO breath before we start this meeting. And everybody knows what that means, right? Or, hey, you're time traveling right now. I need you to come back. Let's be present. Or when you're on the job site, it looks like you missed that gap on the STIA process, right? So it creates a language that allows people to talk about the challenges that they're facing, and not only gives them, but it reminds that person to, hey, I need to take a breath right now because of X, Y, Z, because that's what the highest performing people understand. You know, I coach, you know, NASA does this training. You know, if it's good enough for NASA, it's probably good enough for your job site. I don't know.
Yeah. And I want to go to the original, like stretch and flex was a really foreign idea. And now how many job sites start every morning with a stretch and flex, knowing that just moving the body, It's a finely tuned body. It's just stiff and it hasn't started moving yet. So you got to move it. So what if you mentally started every day with a stretch and flex and a BAMO?
Your ECR, you know?
Yeah.
Your
and,
ECR.
And when Seth talks about the STIA, I love this. It's, it reminds me of Mind the Gap, right?
Yep.
It's you have a stimulus before the rest. You got to, this allows you a second to create some space before the reaction. Mm-hmm. And it's a super powerful piece of, something you can take away right now. So if you're a foreman or a superintendent and you're listening, you just got taught a BAMO breath. Like that was a freebie. Do it. It's 4 seconds in through your nose, 4 seconds out through your mouth. Make sure that you're getting that big into your diaphragm. And it's something you can easily just say, yo, BAMO time.
Yeah.
And that sounds a lot better than, let's take a mindfulness break.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to talk too about that, like coming back to what you're saying about, those leaders coming into meetings where you can just cut the tension with a knife and things like that. And so the ultimate superpower that you're learning to possess through this training is emotional intelligence as a skill, right? So STIA, for your listeners, STIA is the process in which neural pathways form. So we talked about, your mindset is how you see the world, what you think about yourself, your good habits, your bad habits. We all have a mindset. Our mindset is a result of our brain set, the anatomical structure of our brain. And that brain set is made up of all these neural pathways and neural bundles and neural networks, right? But that's what we can change. But as people are listening to this podcast, my voice is a stimulus. That stimulus is creating a thought. Those thoughts are creating an emotion. And then that emotion is driving an action. Am I listening to this guy? Am I not listening to him? Do I believe him? Do I not believe him? Like you're doing some kind of action based on the stimulus and your thoughts and emotions associated to it. And that's all humans are doing all day, every day. And most people, again, think back to that construction worker that's waking up in the morning and trying to jump right out of bed and get moving and turning on the news and they're in, their thoughts are all over the place. Their breathing's very shallow. They're going about their day and there is no gap or space between a stimulus and a thought. So that means they are reacting to every stimulus, right? And that's this reactive world that we live into. And we live in a world that's full of a lot of negative stimulus, there's research out there that says the average person has about 100,000 thoughts a day and about 75% are negative, little subtle negative thoughts, right? So that's a lot of negative thoughts, emotions, and actions all day, and what we're learning to do by creating space between a stimulus and a thought, this comes back to what we were talking about, Rob, with the mental defense. Right? That gap, having the ability to create space between a stimulus and a thought, that's your mental defense. If you don't have tools like the BAMO breath to create space between a stimulus and a thought, you don't have free will. You're at the mercy of all stimulus. Good luck, right? And so a good example of the STIA process in BAMO is, let's say you're that foreman and I walk out on the job site and I see one of my people doing something that they're not supposed to be doing, right? Now, we can light them up, right, and go off on them. That might be something. We know how effective that is, right? Sometimes there is a time and a place for that. But let's say, I come up, I see them. That's the stimulus. And my initial thought is, this piece, can't believe this motherfucker, And now my thoughts and emotions are that, and my action is I come over, maybe even I hit them or I push them or I throw a hammer or I do something that might be a safety issue, right? Because I overreacted. Instead, I see that stimulus. I have awareness that it's getting me anxious, but I take a BAMO breath that creates the space between the stimulus, creates that gap. Now I have more time to change my thoughts, right? I can see the opportunity in this and I can say, okay, hey, maybe they're just, they don't know I'm here. Maybe I can say this instead of that, or maybe I can coach them up on this. But what it does by you creating that gap is it makes me feel more empowered and less vulnerable.
Jeff, as we're talking about this, I'm curious, one, Seth, I'd love to actually see if they had filtered numbers on those negative thoughts, Jeff. I love our industry, but I'm going to say we would probably be on the high, and I mean the high side of that number ratio, because I'm thinking about all of my safety friends out there. Seth, so you'll know, the safety professionals in our industry, you want to talk about negative actions and negative conversations all day. Their job is literally to protect the workers' lives and health. And unfortunately, still most of the time when they're coming up to someone, it's not for high fives and like, that looks good, keep it up. It's more like, you can't do that.
Right.
And the battle ensues. The safety professionals in our industry probably need a course like this more than anybody, because all day long, all they do is challenge people's assumptions and beliefs, who are usually a little resistant, shall we say, of like, what do you mean I can't do it like this? I've been doing it for 30 years. Yeah, well, you know, there's a rule and there's OSHA and well, just common sense or gravity.
And
what
that comes down to, and you're 100%, like that's what I'm interested in finding in your industry is like it's, yes, this is training everybody could benefit from and it's something everybody could use. But, you know, as we're kind of just starting to get a little deeper into that industry, what's the perfect fit to start with? Who are the right people? Is it the safety professionals? Is it the leaders of, you know, and we can talk through that. But I like to use real world examples like that. If I'm a safety professional and I'm getting ready to go debrief or coach somebody or talk about an issue, right? This is what happens to that person if they haven't been trained, if they haven't had emotional intelligence training. One, that person has a negativity bias, because we all do, right? Our brains are wired with a negativity bias. So instantly in their mind, they're coming up with the don't do this, don't do this. That's what happens if you act like this. It's all the negative things that could happen and would happen. But if you have emotional intelligence, and what we teach is emotional intelligence as a skill, right? Because remember, everything a human does is driven by an emotion. And if I want that worker to do what I want them to do, I have to make sure I'm saying and doing things in a way that emotionally ensures that they're going to do it, not makes them pissed off and want to go anti. And so emotional intelligence, and this is what that safety instructor is trying to implement, is they're mastering these four components of emotional intelligence. And this is what our course teaches, right? How to master these four components. Because a lot of people, again, in the construction industry and other industries, when they hear the word emotional intelligence, they just think of it as like some abstract concept. Like, oh, Rob's emotionally intelligent. He's a nice guy. That's not what emotional intelligence is. Emotional intelligence is a skill. And there's four components. The first component is self-awareness, right? So again, just think about these safety people or even the people out on the line, right? Say self-awareness, which means how do I feel right now? Am I angry? Am I mad? Am I pissed that I got to go talk to this guy about this issue? Like self-awareness is just, I can observe my emotions in the moment, not evaluate them. I can observe them, right? Self-awareness is step one. Step two is self-regulation. How do I regulate my emotions? Like the BAMO breath. That's a biohack. That's a self-regulation. So if I'm getting ready to go talk to this individual and already my thoughts are, I can't stand this guy. I've talked to him 20 times about this. He drives me crazy, right? My sympathetic nervous system is getting engaged. So instead, I want to take a BAMO breath, regulate myself. So I'm in parasympathetic state, because we also give off an energy, right? And if I walk up to this person, even if I'm not saying anything, but my mind is, I hate this guy. He drives me crazy. And I'm in sympathetic state. He feels that energy. It's a process called limbic resonance. It's sending signals to him to go on high alert, to be threatened. And I haven't even started the conversation yet, right? So step three is situational awareness. So now this is where who am I around right now? And how is he or she emotionally? Are they mad? Are they upset, right? And as you train, you get better at reading other people's energy and emotions. Your intuition gets better. And then step four, the Jedi power and the secret skill for human performance is situational regulation. So what do I do to regulate the emotions of people around me that don't know how to increase the probability of whatever I want to happen happening? That's the Jedi power, right? And so that's what you have to teach people how to master, is those four components of emotional intelligence. And that's the cheat code in life that gives you an unfair advantage on everything that you do.
Jeff, can you imagine using those four points for that emotional side of things? You know, I was talking about the safety professionals, what they experience every day. What about our BIM VDC professionals, our project managers? Who are the ones that go to the owner when the owner's saying, I don't like that, change it? Well, why does that cost more? Just do it. How could that side of the coin use tactics like this?
I think there's not a spot in what we do. And I think that's, we can take that from the other areas where you've been successful with this process and apply it. Because I don't care if you're in early pre-con fighting it out, or if you're in the field fighting it out, or if you're the safety professional fighting it out. You know, it's pretty much we're fighting it out of everywhere. And we're not going to drive the fight out of the industry. However, the Jedi mind trick and that superpower of controlling the probability is really where the trick's at, right? Because it's not like the police can really not have the, they can't think their way out of or mindful their way out of crime happening and happening.
Right.
But when they're in that situation, their ability to Jedi mind trick it out significantly increases the opportunity for great outcomes. And I think we're pulling from those same things, Seth, right? That's what you're looking
at. And what
at.
what you're doing, the term I use, right? Because I work in industries, like I said, I mean, I train military, special ops, cops, people that really work in super volatile, stressful industries where life or death are on the line. And what this training allows you to do is be calm in chaos, right? How do I be calm in chaos? And we know the construction industry is full of chaos, like you said. So the ones that are going to thrive and excel are the ones that can stay calm in that chaos. And the only way that happens is through training. And now the cool thing, and this is the really the most beautiful thing about the training is, you know, it's going to teach you how to thrive and stay calm in chaos on the job site, but also at home. Like I'm a single dad with three boys. That's my chaos, right? So how do I control my thoughts and my breath at home so I'm not lighting my kids up, right? So that's the beauty of this training is once you learn how to do it, it applies to all stress in your life, you know, and that's flow state, you know? So when I train athletes and SEALs, what I'm doing is I'm training them, teaching them how to create this formula, your ECR plus your IER, so that you can live your life in flow state. Flow state is relaxed awareness. That's when the world slows down. Things around you, you're more present. You're more grateful, right? Now I can be more responsive, less reactive. And that's just a benefit wherever you're at, the grocery store, watching a movie with your kids, or out on a job site, you know? And once you recondition your brain and you, you know, you master those four components, you know, you just live in the zone. You just live in flow state. You don't have to randomly get there or hope it happens. You're just there. And you can walk into any situation and it doesn't matter what's happening around you. You're good.
Yeah, that's, and I think that's the power of, you know, really getting involved in this type of training, you know, mental fitness training. And so with that, I really want to thank you for jumping on. Rob, I want to thank you for bringing Dr. Kickerson my way. I'm excited for the next 6 weeks of class myself. So yeah, I'm taking it. And if y'all want to find out more about what Dr. Kickerson has for us, it's mysteadymind.com. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like we want to do here at the show with the Pause for the Cause, we ask for a little bit of a discount for listeners. So if you want to sign up yourselves, just use the code MSMCON25. If you forget that, just watch when we post the episode up. I will actually be putting it in the emailer. So if you're not signed up for that emailer, you better sign up for that emailer. And I'll drop it online as we drop the show. Dr. Seth, any final thoughts for the group? Thanks so much for jumping on the show and sharing. I the Pause for the Cause is really something near and dear to my heart. And I'm excited to offer up your services and kind of socialize this to the industry.
Yeah. And I mean, that's grateful for you having me on here. You know, I truly appreciate it. My ultimate goal is just to help as many people out there in the construction industry just be healthier and happier. You know, people deserve to be healthier and happier. And a lot of people are not right now, and they're struggling, they're losing hope, and it's just difficult, you know. And so if we can provide any kind of training to help them navigate that, you know, and do it in a fun way, that's what we're here to do. And I'd say, you know, if you got leaders out there that have teams that are interested, because we do this as groups too, right? So if you got a you know, that's really you can do it as an individual. You can go to the website, apply that code and take the course on your own. Or if you have employees, you can do it as a group. I just have people reach out to me or contact me, and we can kind of learn more about where they're at and what they're looking to do. And anything we can do to serve, we're here to help. So
yeah, you want to edge in construction. You want to take your team to the next level. Don't forget about that mental fitness. It's a huge part of it. Rob McKinney, thank you, brother, for joining me and being on the show today, man.
Hey, I'm sorry I've been kind of offline for a little while, but now everybody might kind of understand why.
Yeah.
And the thing I'll leave you with is a course like this. I'm telling you because I went through it and because I've seen a lot of other things. If you're looking to make some kind of mental improvement, any performance improvement, it starts first with what I've been talking about a lot on LinkedIn. You got to acknowledge it, but then, yeah, you need to figure out some ways to put in that work. And I can definitely validate this course has a lot of good nuggets, shall we say, in there to help you out if you're looking for them. So awesome to see you, man.
It was awesome to see you. Thank you both. Thank you for tuning in today for our first Pause for the Cause episode with Dr. Seth Hickerson. To read all our news stories, learn more about our guests, and to listen to this show, visit thecontentcrew.com. This is the Content Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.